following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
It is so good to see you here this afternoon. Let me tell you what my favorite Christmas verse is about gifts. You might have heard it before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved that he gave. This whole story of Christmas is nothing but a love story. How God reached out to us with the deepest of love, the greatest of gifts that anyone has ever received. And, you know, I pray that if maybe at this point in your life, you've never really made that discovery of the wisdom of just putting your life, as good or as bad as it might be, into the hands of your loving God. Maybe tonight will be the night that you awaken to his love for you and something new and fresh begins in you. This song is off of the Christmas record, and there's a few people here in the congregation tonight that actually worked on that and played on it and made, really, I think they made it sound great, and it was an honor to work with those folks. But I want to share this song. It's just called This Is Love. And the scene is this Christmas night when Jesus was born and was discovered by those shepherds. So, and the words are going to be on the screen, so you're more than welcome to sing along.
This is love, pure and simple, handed down from heaven's throne. This is love, right here in the middle of this broken land that we call home. He would not leave us to wander through this wilderness alone. I'll never understand this mystery. This I know, this is love. This is love beyond reason. Mother Mary's sweet embrace. When love came to ease my sorrow, to bear my sin, take my place. Come shepherds from the valley, and come wise men from afar. Come the madman from Jerusalem, all pray to the Prince of Love. Listen to the angels sing, oh, peace on earth. Praises to this baby king, born to break this ancient curse. This is love. In a manger, the Father's face in this newborn son. Perfect peace, friend and foe and stranger. Amazing love for everyone. And if I live to be 1,000, well, I'll have peace more than enough. Though I may not be a magi, oh, this I know, this is love. He could not leave us to wander through this wilderness alone. Though I know that I'm no magi, Yes, I know that I know Him and He is love. Yes, I know Him, but He is surely love.
Though I live to be a thousand,
and though I live to be a thousand, I'll have peace more than enough. And though I know that I'm no magi, I know Him. I know Him, and He is love. Yes, I know Him, and He is surely love. Amen.
I know you thought the pastors were supposed to have all the answers. This one doesn't, but I know the answer to this question. Where's my hope found? It's found in Him. Anybody else in here? Same category? I know Him. I know Him, and I know that He's love. Well, welcome. Welcome tonight. And this is the third of our 17 services today. No, it's not. That's just the third of the third. And then we all get to go home. And how many of you have some more lines to wait in tonight or tomorrow? You really are done. Everybody's done? Well, it's a good time to be done, I guess. I'm not quite done, but I will be done tonight. Well, we are in this third part of three parts. We started this series that we call The Adventure. And this is the third of a three-part series. And we're going to talk about the wonder of this, of it all, from going from wonder to worship. The first session that we had together about a week and a day or so ago, we talked about the missing piece in life. And you know, most of us live that way. I guess you would say all of us live that way, with this missing piece, P-I-E-C-E, until we find our peace, P-E-A-C-E, our peace in Christ. And maybe you're at that place today where there's a peace missing, and there's a peace missing in your heart. And that peace is only found in Jesus. And that's what He came to do. Jesus didn't come to this world so that we would all get dressed up and go to Christmas Eve service. You're supposed to always button at least one button in a sport coat, aren't you? People didn't actually didn't recognize me tonight when I showed up with a sport coat and a tie. They did a second look, and the beard is also always something I sort of hide behind in December. You know, I made up my mind a long, long time ago. When I get to heaven, I want to look up the guy who invented the tie. I want to have a talk with him, but I came to this realization. He may not have made it to heaven. You know, there's a good possibility that somebody that did this to men all over the world might not have made it. But anyway, we talked about that missing piece. And how we find that peace in Jesus. He didn't come, as I said, to just make us dress up and go to religious meetings. He came to give us peace, portable peace that we carry with us, and hope, and a joy that's deeper than any joy you would ever know any other way. And it's all wrapped up in Him, that one that was all wrapped up in swaddling clothes when He started His life in this world. Our second session, we went on to talk about the promises that God makes. We talked about the fact that God is not just a promise maker. He's a promise what? A keeper. He's a promise keeper. He never overpromises. God has never overpromised, never promised Himself into a place where He couldn't fulfill that promise. And now tonight, we're going to take a look at that night when Jesus was born. Not the night before. We celebrate on the night before the fact that He came, but we're going to take a quick look at that night that He arrived and all the flurry. Now, by the way, we don't know that He was born at night. We just know the announcement was made at night to that handful of shepherds. And by the way, it's possible that there were other shepherds that were told about it as well. And maybe they came to visit. Maybe other people came. We just know about the story that's embedded in the gospel, that these ones came on that night. And this passage tonight is going to tell us of the night that Jesus was born, not the night before. But I do want to explore this thought very, very briefly. What do you think the night before was like? What do you think people were doing on that last night before Jesus was born? I would imagine that the shepherds were shepherding. They were just doing what they always did. We know that this one band of shepherds was out guarding their flock that night. You'll see that in the text as we read it. Shepherds were just about their business. And it was a tough job. It was a dirty job. It was a very noble job. And there are scholars that believe that that band of shepherds were really the ones that were, they had the responsibility of the flock of sacrificial lambs that would be offered on Passovers and days of atonement. So it's very possible that those were the ones that were chosen to be informed because they dealt with the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lambs. So shepherds were shepherding, of course. Innkeepers were trying to find rooms for weary travelers that were returning to their ancestral homelands. If you've read that story, you probably have had a question or two, something like this. Why would Augustus and all of his governors decide that if you really wanted a census, that you had to send people back to their hometown to get counted? Why not just send people out with scrolls and talk to everybody in every town and ask them, where did you come from? That wasn't the point. So many people, and especially in Judea, in Israel, had left that land. They'd left their homelands to get away from the trouble that was happening all over, especially in the south where the Romans ruled. They ruled all over the land, but they had left their lands. They had abandoned them. And so if they abandoned their cash crops, then there weren't taxes coming to Rome. And there's proof of this in the ancient papyri that are found in northern Africa, where they found these kind of instructions: go back to your homeland and stay there and farm those lands and replant those trees. They'd cut their trees down because it was a tree tax from the Romans and they couldn't afford it. So you're saying, go back, stay there, farm the land, send me your taxes. So they traveled all over the place. They'd been away, many of them, for probably some of them, most of their lives. And when they got there, they no longer had a home. And so they stayed where they could, in inns, and the ancient form of holiday inns, or maybe more like Motel Sixes. I don't know where they stayed, but they went wherever they could stay. And so innkeepers were busy trying to make room for people and trying to help them out as they came. And by the way, if you were told by the government, go back where you came from, where would you go? My family would probably go back to Ireland. As far as I know, that's where all of my dad's people and about 25% of my mom's people were from. Joy would have to, well, she'd have to decide where to go because she's got all these different lines of lineage, but probably France or maybe Belgium. Where would you go? Count it up. I'm going to count to three and just shout it out. Where is your ancestry from? One, two, three. I'll bet we touched every continent. Any penguins here from Antarctica? Well, I bet we touched almost all the continents here. Go back. And that's what the Romans told them. Angels, we know what they were doing. They were preparing because the mission was about to begin to roll. The Messiah, he was coming. Finally, it was happening. Mary and Joseph, you know what they were doing? They were expecting. They were expecting this baby, and they had good reason to expect this baby. But they were wondering. Doesn't every parent wonder what will become of this baby? Can I see the hands of the sisters in the house that have had a baby, at least one baby, or more? Come on, lift up those weary hands. We know they're weary from the work that you do. But they were wondering, when will this baby come? Mary was thinking, and Joseph, when is this baby going to come? Not knowing that it would be within a day that he would be there. Probably wondering, what will he look like? Joseph knowing for sure, he's not going to look like me. I had nothing to do with that baby. He knew it was a God baby. Wondering, what will he look like? How tall will he be? What will his complexion be like? And I'm sure Mary and Joseph both wondered, how do you raise the Son of God? And probably the same questions that every parent has, especially on baby number one. Am I qualified to do this? What kind of a mother will I be? What kind of a father will I be? Will I be able to give them everything that they needed? You know they were wondering that, but then he arrived. And the next day that the sun came up, the world had a new passenger. He wasn't just a passenger, he was a savior. They woke up to a savior that morning, a savior that for the first years of his life, think about this, God wrapped up in human flesh, not just swaddling clothes, a savior that would need mothering and fathering, somebody to hold him by the hand and carry him to and fro. And that was the world that Jesus came into, people just like mothers and fathers here. And I want us to read through the story. The words are going to be up here on the screen. I'm going to invite you to read along with me as we read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 all the way down to verse 20. Let's read together, can we? It says this, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governing Syria. That's told so you can go check it up in historical data. This isn't just a fairy tale. It happened, it really happened. Verse 3, let's read. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. Notice, he didn't choose to go, he had to go. You didn't want to get on the wrong side of Roman law. Verse 5. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. There's only one translation I can find that tells us that Mary was great with child, which would mean to us it was towards the end of her pregnancy. But you look in the Greek behind that, it just means that she was pregnant. It's possible that they left town before Mary was really, really, really showing. She was several months along when she came back from visiting Elizabeth. So it's very possible that she was great with child. Joy and I were talking about this the other day as I suggested maybe they got out of town as soon as they could before all the gossip started. And everybody said, yeah, we know what happened with Mary. I wonder who the daddy was. And maybe Joseph mercifully said, honey, let's go south. Let's get away from all of this. And they headed down. But while they were there, came time for the baby to be born. In verse 7, let's read. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. This verse this year has become one of my favorite verses now of the Christmas story. Because what the angel is saying, and it's pretty obvious, he said, there's good news for you, and here's what that last part means, and it's gonna make you so happy. There's such joy now for you because the Messiah has been born. He reassures them, don't be afraid. This is gonna make you so glad. Verse 11 now, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. And let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let me insert this right here. The angel says to them, you're going to find this baby. Here's your sign. You'll find him wrapped up in rags and laying in a feed bin. Why didn't the angel say, hey, guys, shepherds, take out your iPhone and let me bounce to you the address. I'll drop a point there for you and just to make it easy for you. Why? They knew where the baby was. Why didn't they say to the shepherds, if you go right into the center of town and hang a left at the fish market, go down two blocks, turn right, second door on the left, that's where you'll find the baby. They made them search for this child. But isn't the search a part of the adventure always? And so off they went without any more help from the angels, who probably could have helped them a little bit. But when the angels returned to heaven, they said, let's go find this baby. And off they went. Verse 16. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. You got to take some time in the next day or two to dwell on that. Imagine stepping into a stall, in a barn, a shed, a cave, or wherever it might have been. It doesn't say what kind of house it was, if it was even a house, or what the structure, if there was even a structure. But just imagine yourself seeing the baby and the mom and the dad laying there. A baby laying there, wrapped up in those rags. And there he was, laying in the manger. You would have been touched and captured by the beauty of all of this. Verse 17 says this. Let's read. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story, they were astonished, like we would have been. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. Verse 19. Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them all the time. All the time. She would go back, is this really happening to me? How will the pieces of this puzzle fit together? Knowing that there were other pieces left out. She didn't see the whole picture then. She saw it step by step like we see our own lives. Invited into this mystery, invited into this mission. Mary, will you do this? She said, yes, be it unto me according to your will. Don't understand it. But I'm in. I'm all in. And off she went down to Bethlehem. Angels show up. Shepherds show up to praise him. And it's just a marvelous story. How many of you have baby books? Moms, you got baby books of all your kids, pictures, handprints, footprints, you know, face print. I don't know if you did face prints, but you got all the story. And anytime they took out a crayon and they dragged it across a piece of paper, you've got it, I'll bet. It's nothing like Mary's baby book. The stories that she had to somehow wrestle with and figure out as best as she could. She pondered these things all the time that she was walking through this mystery. And by the way, the reason we have those details is because eventually Mary went public with her story. She told the apostles, she told other disciples, and maybe they asked her one night around dinner tables, Mary, would you tell us that story again? About the visit from the angels and about the shepherds and about how this, we want to get the details right on this. And different gospel writers tell us different parts of it. But I'll tell you, it is an amazing, amazing story. Now, what I want to do is just toss a few words out at you, and then we'll be on our way to our Christmas Eve and then Christmas and on into the whatever wonder is ahead for us. But what I want to talk about tonight is this. Going from the wonder to the worship and then just a little bit even beyond that worship. From the story that we've just read, here's what I get from it. The wonder of his birth. Let's begin right there. How can you just step by this story and not give it your full attention? This story has such a captivating sense about it because it's history. It's set in a historical time frame that we can go back and research what life was like at that time. This literally happened. And I really believe that the wonder of the story, the spectacle and the unanswered questions even, and I've got tons of unanswered questions when I read some of these Bible stories. And it doesn't bother me in the least to have questions I can't answer. I've told you before, one of my favorite things to tell people that are just getting into the ministry, teach your tongue to say, I do not know. If you don't know, admit that you don't know. There was some ancient rabbi that said that, and I loved it. And so that's one of my mantras. Teach your tongue to say that you do not know. So there's all of these questions, a miracle of this messianic birth. He was finally here. Let that story capture you and spend time with it. The second part of this journey is this, the welcoming of those who were waiting. And we know who they were. We know who welcomed him, the angels who'd been waiting for way, way back in eternity for this to happen. And all through human history up to this point, they've been waiting for the rescue to begin. And the shepherds were there waiting. They were waiting like all of the other Jewish people on the promises that God had given them. A promise is a promise, we discovered yesterday. And they've been waiting on God to fulfill the promises. But Mary and Joseph, well, they'd been waiting about 9 months to see how this would turn out. But they welcomed him. They stretched out their arms and they welcomed him. The angels announced his birth and the shepherds were searching for the one to just say, you're welcome here. To welcome him with their shaloms, I'm sure. And just say, come on in. What happens next? And then the third part here, moving from the wonder to the welcome. And see, what we're on is a personal timeline for every single one of us. Our life of faith begins with this, with the wonder. When you're puzzled, how can this happen? How can some man 33 years old, half my age right now, how could some man dying all that long, all those years ago, how could that somehow have anything to do with me? But it does. and I might wrestle with the wonder of it all. But I got to come to the point where I say, okay, I welcome that because I know I need a Savior. I know I've sinned. I know I need forgiveness. I know I need fixing. I know that I'm broken in so many ways. As I say nowadays, first year I've ever said this in The Shepherd, I talk about the little girl who was born with a crippled foot. And then I say something like, aren't we all born with something wrong with us? And I say, if you don't know what's wrong with you, ask a friend. He'll tell you what's wrong with you. Help each other out. We're all broken one way or another. And you welcome the one who came to be our healer and our forgiver. But then it comes to this, the worship. You move from the wonder to the welcome to the worship. When you welcome him in, it's not just a buddy-buddy. Oh, he's your friend that's closer than a brother. But he's God who deserves our reverence, who deserves our worship. And a true believer doesn't need to be coaxed into worshiping. And I'm not talking about singing. There's a lot of people that need to be coaxed into singing. But true believers don't need to be coaxed into worshiping God, because worshiping God means I surrender. I give you my life. You'll be king. I won't be king. You'll be my heavenly Father, and now I'll be your son. And if you're a king and you're my father, that makes me a prince, and that's pretty cool too, isn't it? Now I've got royal blood in me. But you'll be king. You'll lead, and I will follow. It always comes down to worship. The angels worshiped him. Glory to God in the highest. I love that. And they said, oh, and by the way, lots of peace to you people on earth. And then it says that the shepherds, where do we see them worshiping? We see them searching. We see another element in them that we'll talk about in a moment, but it tells us as they made their way back, in verse 20, as they made their way back to their flocks, they glorified God and they praised God. Our Savior's here. I would love to know the content of their prayers. I'd love to know the text of their prayers. They say, oh God, our Savior's here. How's that going to work out? He's just a baby, but by promise, he's the Savior. So you move to the worship. And then, as I said up in the heading there, you move beyond that. You move from the wonder that captivates you to the welcoming of this Savior of ours, to the worship of him as God. And then, you know what? You might be surrounded by some people who don't know him. And so that's where the next W comes in, you witness. You're someone who speaks to other people. How much theology do you think that those shepherds really understood about what had just happened? Not much. But what did they do? It said they told everyone that they met. They went their way telling everyone what they'd seen and what they'd heard and that the Messiah had been born. You don't need a degree in theology. I don't have a degree in theology. You don't need a degree in theology to tell somebody good news, that their Savior has come, that their sins can be forgiven, that like Simeon we talked about 8 or 9 days ago, like Simeon, you don't need a theology degree to tell somebody, hey, you know, it's safe for you to die now if you embrace the Christ. Isn't that a beautiful story of Simeon? He holds that baby in his arms and he says, now I can die. Now I can go home and die in peace because my eyes have seen that he had embraced the Christ. And see, that's what people of faith do. They're caught by the wonder. They welcome this Savior. They worship him with their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. And they tell other people whose lives are broken. I'm not even guessing when I say this. I know there's a lot of people in here that are struggling with brokenness and struggling with disappointment. I could look around the room and I could point the finger at people I know that this year are dealing with loss, tough, tough loss. And you know lots of people like that aren't here. And we get to tell them, your hope is found in Jesus. Your hope is found in him. So, it's Christmas. And this is how I would say you receive Christmas. You start, as we said, with the wonder. Let it capture your attention. Welcome him. Make room for the king. You're not the king of your life. You don't qualify to be the king of your life. You need a ruler, and a benevolent, loving ruler. Welcome the king. Make room for him. Worship him. It's wise, and it's just simple surrender. And you can trust your life to him. And then do whatever you can to tell everybody else who's in need that there's hope in Jesus. There's forgiveness in Jesus. There's joy that's deeper than anything you could ever get from a bottle or a drug or a Game Boy. Is there a Game Boy still around? I have no idea. I'm way out of touch. or any console. There's joy that's deeper than a momentary thrill that is found in Jesus. It's the only place you can find that. So this, let me end with this. The really big words or the big gifts that are all over the Christmas story, everywhere you go, what are the big words that you hear in this season, especially in the marketplace? You hear words like hope. It's a season of hope. One of the big words of the Christmas story is now there's hope. None of us can save ourselves, and so God stepped into our timeline and he brought us hope. The hope of forgiven sins, there's peace. That's one of the biggest words at Christmas. The angels are preaching it, and everybody's talking about the peace in the Christmas story. There's peace, the peace of heart, deep, deep peace. There's joy. Joy is not the name, just the name of my beautiful redhead bride sitting by my tall, dark-haired son back there, and his beautiful bride and their wonderful three kids who happen to be my grandsons too. But joy is this deep, deep, deep sense of wellness. And it's not just something that puts a smile on your face. It stabilizes you as you walk through this life. The other big words, love, it's all over the whole story. Why? Because of this big word, forgiveness. Your sins, my sins, can be washed away and totally forgiven. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who came into this world just like that tiny little baby. He really is that missing piece that maybe you've been looking for until this point. That's the Christmas story. He came for you. He came because you couldn't live without him. You couldn't find your way on your own. And so he came for you. So may we move from the wonder of this story to the worship, and then become people that when we leave here tonight, after we blow out our candles safely, may we walk into a world that needs light, needs witness, to friends and family that need hope. You'll gather around tables, most of you. You'll eat way too much turkey and stuffing. And you'll look across the table at people that maybe need hope. And there you are, to be a conveyor of that hope. We're going to sing Silent Night. Get ready to light your candle extremely carefully. The praise team is going to come on back out and lead us in that. And we have a handful of folks that are going to sing this song for us in different languages. And the first one is really one of my favorite languages. It's very close to the Hula language that you saw on Saturday and Sunday. Did anybody enjoy that? Was that beautiful? Yes. Oh, man, that was just really, really powerful. But we're going to hear it in different languages. And maybe that's obviously one of the great things about this story. It's global. It has gone global. Why? Well, because there's people looking for hope and forgiveness and for peace and for joy and for love everywhere you go. People are the same absolutely everywhere you go. That's why the gospel is so easily conveyed through people like you and I. Let's not slow down in that. Let's take it even further. Would you pray with me before we sing? God in heaven, I thank you for these huge words of not just Christmas, but the huge words of the gospel, that you loved us so much, that you gave such an incredible gift to us. And Father, I just pray for hearts that might be struggling with letting go and trusting you. And maybe because their lives seem to be together. Or maybe they're going to try one more time to put it together themselves, God. I just pray that there'd be that releasing of those things to you. And they would let you take the reins tonight, Father. I want to thank you, Father God, for the peace and the joy that you'll give, even as those cry out to you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you to keep your eyes closed for just a minute. And we're going to pray. I'm going to lead the congregation in a very simple prayer of welcome. And that's welcoming the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. And maybe you've never prayed a prayer like this before. But can I just tell you what a wise step that would be to say to God, God, save me. God, forgive me. God, give me your peace. Thank you for Jesus. So we're going to pray like that right now. And if you'd like to join with us, I would highly, highly encourage you to do that. So congregation, let's pray like this again. Father in heaven, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I need a Savior. I have sinned. and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my life and live in me. Take over my life. Make me the person you want me to be. I thank you that Jesus also rose from the dead, and I welcome him to live in me now. Forgive my sins and fill me with joy. Help me to live for you now. Rest of my life is yours. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God as a son or a daughter of the King, your princes and princesses, if you've received him. And we're gonna ask the guys to come forward now and begin to light the candles. Remember, hold the lit candles upright, just like that, and let them lean over to yours. And Lisi is gonna translate this into sign for us. So you might wanna watch this at the same time, but be careful.
Oh, sí, takatifu wengine walala wakesha ni Yosefu tu na Maria waliomlinda Yesu mwana mzuri, Yesu mwana mzuri. Kutakia Christmas jema. Amen.
Swahili, right?
Swahili. Yeah, Swahili.
O noapte preasfințită, toate sunt odihnă, toți dorm numai părinții sfinți. Stau veghi în lângă a lor iubit. Dormi și tu, o prunc sfânt, dormi și tu, o prunc sfânt.
Romanian.
Тихая ночь, дивная ночь, дремлет все, лишний спит, благоговение святая чета. Чудным младенцем пальны их сердца. Радость в душе их горит. Радость в душе их горит.
Was Russian.
Duhsnui, santnui, dan lesio, lastrului, lo mistera non se s'accompli. Cet enfant sur la paille endormi, c'est l'amour infini, c'est l'amour infini.
French.
Na tanaw na sa silangan ang talang patnubay ng gabing katahimikan ang sanggol sa lupa'y sinilang ng birheng matimtima sa hamak na sabsabang. Maligayang Pasko.
Vietnamese. Đêm yên lặng, đêm thanh này. vắng vẻ thay sáng lang thay chúng quan chúng Mary đang ngắm con mình con trai thân rất tươi vui rất an bình đứng gối dưới khung trời vắng êm đềm giữa đêm yên lặng.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you all. This was Jackie in Espanol, Irene in Kiswahili, and Mary Lou in Tagalog from the Philippines, Malin from Vietnam, and Tabitha in all kinds of languages. And she knows another one too. But, you know, God, it says that every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every kindred is invited. But the tongue that God wants to hear tonight is yours, giving praise and thanks to Him. Don't let the night go by without giving thanks to Him for His great gift of Jesus. Let's sing together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
And this was Lisi, mother of Zach and Luke, in American Sign Language. And I want to ask you to take your candle and lift it real high. Don't tip it, don't tip it. Just lift it up really, really high. And I'm going to ask the guys in the back if they'd turn off all of the lights in the house. So the only light is your light and my light. And I want to remind you how desperately your light and my light is needed in the world that we live in. And if your light wasn't where you live, if your light wasn't where you work and where you move around and conduct your affairs and your business, it would be darker. But you're there. And you're there to do what? Well, to witness. To move from the wonder to the welcome to the worship and then on to the witness. To touch people's lives in a glorious and a powerful way. We're going to do something. So you can hold your... Go ahead and hold your light up still. But if you got saved between 30 years ago and today, then blow your light out. 30 years ago, all the way up to today, if you're saved, go ahead and blow that light out. And look at this room get a little bit darker. If you got saved between 50 years ago and 30 years ago, go ahead and blow your light out. That's me. All right, if you got saved between 70 and 50 years ago, it's time, blow out the light. Man, there are some very young looking 75-year-old people in here from where I'm standing. Or maybe they just haven't said, Jesus, here's my life yet. Wow, and there's a couple left. Now go ahead, everybody, and blow your light out. And imagine a world without a witness. Imagine a world without people like you and I that would wake up in the morning and say, God, every day is going to be Christmas for me. I'll celebrate the birth. I'll celebrate the gift as long as I live, and I'll tell the world as well as I can about your love for them. So why don't you say we go do that? Amen? Amen. Let's turn the lights back on so you can safely exit the hall here. But may your Christmas be beyond wonderful as you gather together with your family and your friends and you eat too much food. May the Lord bless you as you celebrate this season and share His love with one another. May it be a wonderful, wonderful time for you. God bless you. Grace and peace and Melekilikimaka. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas. Each and every one of you. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.